Well, we're here. It's been a journey, hasn't it? We have spent the past 4 weeks in this challenging and not often read Old Testament book of Lamentations. And I know it has not been an easy book. Believe me, I know. And I know some of you have found yourselves thinking over this past month or so, and probably even saying to one another, things are hard enough. I really wish Kevin had preached on something a little more uplifting once, at least once, over these past 4 weeks or so. Fair point. That is a fair point. But I also know that some of you, and I know because some of you have told me that you have felt seen over this past month. That knowing and seeing that there is a whole book like this, a whole book that explores with us and things like deep lament and anguish and grief, that there's a book like this in the Bible, and that has affirmed to you. That has affirmed that you, in all of that, are seen and are known by God. And so this morning, we have come to the final chapter of this book, Lamentations, the fifth and final poem. And so let's pray as we go to God's word this morning. Your word, O Lord, has power. Power to transform, power to unsettle, power to assure, for it calls us to you. Lord, as we hear and read, as we hold up and examine your word this morning, Lord, through the Spirit, may your word hold us up. And may it examine us, that we might more and more enter into the life to which you call us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So Lamentations 5, beginning with verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to aliens. We have become orphans, fatherless. Our mothers are like widows. We must pay for the water we drink. The wood we get must be bought. With a yoke on our necks, we are hard driven. We are weary. We are given no rest. We have made a pact with Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. Our ancestors sinned. They are no more, and we bear their iniquities. Those are the first seven stanzas, the first seven verses of this fifth and final poem of Lamentations. And it is yet again recounting many of those same themes we have seen week in and week out. The poetry and the metaphors that are used to convey, again, the plight of the overrun and the conquered people of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians and the nations around them and the sin that is within them. And this again, it goes on after these seven stanzas, these first seven verses. It goes on stanza after stanza down to where we're going to pick up now at the 15th through the 18th stanzas, verses 15 through 18. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has been turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are sick. Because of these things, our eyes have grown dim. Because of Mount Zion, which lies desolate, jackals prowl over it. And so, like last week, in that fourth poem that we looked at, we find ourselves here again on the one hand saying, what has changed since we began that first poem 4 weeks ago? This is just more of the same coming around again and again and again. And yet, like last week, on the other hand, we see that we have not been spinning our wheels either, much like how chapter 4 last week was the same and yet different. So too here, as you might guess by now, there's a change. Now, it's clearly not the circumstances. The ancient city, Jerusalem, Zion, still lies desolate. And even the words here towards the end of this chapter, they echo those opening words of chapter 1, which began, "How lonely sits the city." And God's people are clearly are still in need of restoration, of redemption, as they continue to lament and repent of their sin and the circumstances of which they have found themselves, to wrestle with the consequences of all of it. And yet the poetry here of God's word, that which carries these circumstances to us, that which expresses these circumstances for us, and dare we also say, on behalf of us, as you might have guessed, has changed. Poetically, this final poem, still 22 stanzas long, like all the others, and yet now it is also half the length of the poem that came before it, of poem 4. And it's only a third of the length of the first 3. Each stanza, once 3 lines long, in those first 3 poems. And then last week in the 4th poem was down to just 2 lines long. Now here in this final poem, it is only 1 line long, each stanza. Each stanza, just 1 line. Much shorter. A third the length of where we began. We'll see if we can get the sermon to do that this morning, though. No promises. And that we talked about the acrostic pattern that these poems have been using, that alphabetical, each beginning of each letter of each stanza would begin with the first letter of the alphabet, then the next stanza, the second. That ABC pattern that had built up and then intensified in the third poem, the third and central poem, and then calmed down again a little bit last week in the 4th poem. Well, here in the 5th poem, it is gone. It is gone completely. There is no alphabetical order here in this 5th poem. It's as if God has been holding us tight, has been holding us through the churning and the chaos of everything because we've needed it. We need that sometimes. We need to be held tight. And now God has slowly been saying, okay, now take a step forward in faith. Held tight when we need it. And given the opportunity to take a first new step of faith, perhaps because we need that sometimes too. Right? There's a time when the loving parental thing to do is hold tight the hands of your child as they walk, and you walk with them, you make those steps with them, holding them tight as they are learning to take those first steps forward, and you guide them every step of the way. And then there's a time when the loving parental thing to do is to let go. Still there, still lovingly and tenderly there, and picking that child up again and again, but doing so that those wobbly, unsure steps become more and more sure and certain. And so while still a lament, here this final poem is now becomes more like a psalm than the 4 that came before it. Chapter 5 here, when you read through it and imagine it sitting nestled in the book of Psalms, it would fit very well in those 150 Psalms that we have in the Bible. A third or so, by the way, are also classified by those who do such things. They classify them as Psalms of Lament. The Psalm in our call to worship was a Psalm of Lament. About a third of the 150 books, chapters in the book of Psalms are laments of one kind or another, and this 5th poem now begins to take on those characteristics. The same structure that the Psalms of Lament have. An address to God, calling out to God, and a complaint or a grief over what has happened and what is happening. And then from there, some sort of affirmation of God or statement of trust in some way, or even praise and deliverance. And we'll get to that last part in a minute. We haven't read it yet in this fifth poem. It'll show up in the last four stanzas that we'll get to in a moment. You may remember back in the first chapter, the first poem, one way that we described what was going on in the book of Lamentations was that it was a sort of funeral dirge, a funeral for the city, for the people and their understanding of who they were and what that meant for how things for them would be, how they were supposed to go. And just about everything in this book has been about that past sorrow continuing into the present and the hard truth about the state of things. And through those past four poems, it's been the voice of the poet and the voice of Lady Zion representing the people, speaking on their behalf, giving voice to what they could not speak for themselves. But here, in this final poem, there's a turn. The voices that spoken on behalf of the people, they have now fully given way to this communal prayer by the people. An invitation for all of the voices of all the people to join together and to be heard. Sometimes God gives us the voice of others to lean on until we can find our own. Sometimes we need to speak on behalf of those whose laments would not otherwise be heard. And sometimes we need to just make space so that theirs can be heard. The laments throughout this book that have been offered on their behalf, on the people's behalf, they have been offered with, to use a turn of phrase from one commentator, they've been offered with eyes only for past sorrow and none for God or for any hope in the future. You may have noticed, God has been a little absent throughout these poems. Well, here in this final poem, now, finally, this has now given way to something else. Something else that has begun to envision, even if it's with those first wobbly and unsteady steps. It's begun to envision that there is now, even in these same circumstances, a prayer that comes from all the people, that comes from the trust, wobbly and unsteady as it may be. Now there begins to be this thread of trust and hope there is a possibility of restoration and renewal. And into all of this, all are now invited, not just the poet, prophet, or Lady Zion, but space is made for all the voices to be heard. All those whom they have been representing are now invited and called together to participate in this prayer to God. And it is a prayer, not just on behalf of the people, it is now a prayer of the people. That's what Psalms are. Psalms are the prayers of worship, the worship of the community. It was the first hymn book and prayer book of the church. And that's what this is. Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace, right? Remember us. Lord, look and see us. All of us, your people, right? Remember us, see us. That's a prayer. That is a prayer. And so one of the things that we see through all of this is that one of the things that lament does is it holds on stubbornly, ferociously, obnoxiously. It holds on to a relationship when it might otherwise just be cast off by one party or another. Through the turmoil and tragedy of this time, when they could have so easily let themselves grow numb to what had happened, when they could have so easily just given up on the hopes and promises that now seem so distant and maybe even foolish in light of what has happened. There, it was their laments, even the difficult and uncomfortable and accusatory ones, the ones that really sound like they should not be read aloud in church, right? Maybe it's even especially in those difficult and uncomfortable, accusatory, and sounding anything but church-like ones. It turns out that is what has kept them close to the God to whom they now pray. Lament is not a rejection of a relationship. It is a sign of it. Lament is throwing all your chips in on that relationship. Though the circumstances here for the people have not magically changed, they, the people, have been changed. Lament has brought them here to this place of prayer. Their complaint, their lament of where they have found themselves, whether through circumstance or sin, whichever and however, probably by a mix of it all, it comes to summation now in verse 18. Because of Mount Zion, which lies desolate, jackals prowl over it. But that is what leads us, what thrusts us, what releases us, what throws us in to the closing of this closing poem, the last four stanzas beginning in verse 19. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Did you catch the shift? Mount Zion, the holy city, the temple, lies desolate. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Babylon came in and took everything from us. But not even Babylon is forever. Because you, O Lord, you endure to all generations. But of course, this wouldn't be Lamentations if there still weren't some questions left lingering. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Why have you forgotten us completely? Why have you forsaken us these many days? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old. Unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. And that's how it ends. Stumbling, wobbly, and unsure steps. I'm going to guess not quite where you thought or hoped it would end. Perhaps ending in verse 21 would have been good, right? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old, right? That's a good, solid prayer to end on. Certainly if someone had told me, Kevin, you are going to write this book in the Bible, that's probably where I would have felt, you know what, this is where I need to stop, right here in 21. This is where I need to end it. But it doesn't. It doesn't. Lamentations. And perhaps this really shouldn't surprise us at this point, having gone through the whole book. It cannot leave well enough alone. And it can't find it in itself to end with a sure and certain period at the end of something. But rather, with a phrase, with language that's probably the equivalent of maybe at best a semicolon. Or dot, 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 question mark. These closing verses, boy, they take you on a ride up and down, don't they? The city, the temple are desolate. But you, O Lord, still reign forever. But if that's true, why does it feel like it's not true? Why does it feel like you've forgotten us? Why aren't you acting like a God who reigns over all this mess that's going on? Since you reign forever and through all generations, what in the world is going on right now with this, our generation, and these times? So restore us, O Lord. You can do that. Restore us. Regardless of all this mess, you reign. So restore us, renew us. That's a great prayer, isn't it? That's a powerful prayer. Restore us, renew us, Lord. Unless you've rejected us. And there's where I can imagine and see that dot, dot, dot question mark embedded in this closing thought that just kind of leaves us hanging. Unless? You know, I hate not having closure on things. Ask Rachel. I have pushed and persevered through watching the worst movies lamentably bad movies. Rachel has no problem saying, you know, this is a horrible movie. This is a dumb movie. I'm out of here. I'm going to bed. I'm going to do something more productive, more enjoyable. But I, on the other hand, I have sat through so many bad movies because no matter how bad they are, once I start, I need to see it out. I need not to be left hanging. I don't want a question mark left at the end. I need the closure, right? Even if it's a horrible ending, I need to get there. I need to get to whatever the resolution is. I need a period at the end of the experience. So for all of you who are like me, my apologies. Because Lamentations does not do that. It doesn't give us that. It leaves things open and unresolved. If this were a musical number, it would end in a minor key and one that doesn't so much end as just kind of slowly trails off. It would be one of those songs, if you are of a certain age and like to play, pretend you can play guitar and play air guitar, it would be one of those songs that doesn't just end so you know where it stops. It would be one that kind of trails off and you never quite know when you've gotten to the end. It leaves things going. This last verse, this last stanza, has caused no small amount of debate and trouble. Unless, there's a bit of debate, actually, over how to best translate the beginning of that closing final verse, because it could mean unless, it could also mean even if. Restore us, O Lord, unless you've rejected us. Restore us, O Lord, even if you've rejected us. I'm actually not sure it matters which way you go with here. We'll leave the scholars to have fun debating that. I'm not sure it matters much in the end. I think we end up in the same place here at the end of Lamentations. Here, at last, at the end of all things, when all is said and done, we have a prayer for restoration and renewal, a prayer for redemption, a prayer that banks everything on the faithfulness of God into an unknown future, a prayer that knows it is not the strength of the faith that matters. It is the strength of the one in whom that faith is put that matters. A prayer that says, look, at the end of the day, where else can we go? Because unless you're not actually the God you promised to be, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end. And boy, that's a prayer, right? That's a prayer that's throwing everything into the ring. Where else can we go? Because even if, where else can we find the restoration and renewal that we so desperately need? Even if everything else falls apart. It's all or nothing here, God. The Lord or bust, right? Even if. And that's how Lamentations ends. That's where it leaves us. That's what it leads us into. That's what it throws us into. With our eyes and our hopes, they're fixed anywhere, knowing they are fixed expectantly on the Lord. Knowing, not just in our minds, but in our bones and in our guts, knowing the truth, you might say, that all our eggs, Easter or otherwise, are in that basket. Wobbly, unsure steps and all. Lamentations leads us here. Lament invites us and leads us into this held breath of hope. That's how it ends. A breath of hope. And that's really, when you get down to it, that's what the journey to the cross of Christ is. That's where we will find ourselves next week. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, The same city all those years later. This same city still, mind you, that's occupied. When Jesus enters it, it is the same ancient city, and it is a city still occupied and under the rule of a pagan nation. This time it's the Romans, but one empire is as good or as bad as another. But still, this held breath of hope that somehow, some way, God will in the end, come hell or high water, prove to be steadfastly faithful to the end. This is the breath of hope that we hold as we enter with Jesus into Jerusalem in that final week. This God is, even if, this God is the one who is steadfastly faithful to the end, even if the worst should happen. This is a prayer. This is the prayer of God's people. This is our prayer as we continue to head with Jesus toward the cross of Christ. Holy Week, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, because this prayer is the only way to get to Easter Sunday. And so may this, I know this is not much of a resolution. The resolution is coming. But we are still in this in-between time. It's where Lamentations leads us, where it guides us, where it pushes us off into this unknown future, but pushes us there with the breath of hope that this God is yet trustworthy, even if. So family, may this be our prayer. May it be our prayer as well. Remember us, O Lord. For you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. So restore us to yourself, O Lord, and renew our days, even if.
Jesus. By thy mercy, O deliver us, good Lord. By thy mercy, O deliver us, good Lord, good Lord. In the weary hours of sickness, in the times of grief and pain, when we feel our mortal weakness, when all human help is vain, in the solemn hour of dying, by thy mercy, O deliver us, good Lord. By thy mercy, O deliver us, good Lord, good Lord.
Amen.